Mike Quincy, connecting the light. I hope that my friends in America have a pleasant Thanksgiving Day. It's not something we have here in England, but I'm sure it proved to be a very relaxing time, and one in which, as was mentioned in one of my messages, a lot of love and peace is generated, and that's certainly what we need. The weather here today in England has taken a turn, shall we say, for the worse, but nothing too serious. We've had our first real signs of major snow, but not down here in the south where I live, fortunately, at least not except at the what we would call the extremities where the cold weather sweeps down the coast. Anyway, the last week's been full of information and articles and various bits of news, and I have plenty to deal with for this program. As usual, I'd like to first go to the Sheldon Neidl message from the Spiritual Hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. And as usual, it's full of good things which are worth repeating and reminding you of, even if you have already read that message yourself. Sheldon started off by saying that the world is still undergoing the death throes of the domain of the dark, and these immoral ones fully know what is happening, with disdain are making life difficult for those innocents who know nothing of what is truly transpiring on your globe. And he says, using the excuse of the war on terrorism, they monitor and obstruct the passage of standard business exchanges at every step, and international transfers of vital financial papers have been slowed to a crawl. This heightened interference is due to their fear that things are afoot that they somehow cannot control, and they are right. They are tumbling to the fact that they can no longer determine the outcome of current events. Far from it. Despite growing restrictions, our Earth allies are almost at the point where these rascals can be evicted from power. Many more indictments and the arrest of this illegal North American administration are swiftly drawing to a close by the day. A final spurt now requires a bit more patience and a courageous resolve to get to the finish line. Now, that opening paragraph from Sheldon is excellent. We know that the dark are crumbling before our very eyes, and we wait for something to give them the last push so that we can get the dark leaders out of the way and get some more representative leaders that reflect the spiritual needs of people, and then we will really see the changes start happening worldwide. Children's people, and that is, we're talking the Syrians here, have said, we have not only protected our allies from undue harm in many ways, but have also prevented the implementation of numerous monstrous schemes plotted by the dark. And I will comment there that if you look back since the terrorist attacks of a couple of years ago, and I'm discounting the 9/11 attack because I think it's generally accepted that this was an inside job. You must say that there have been worldwide very few incidents, and it doesn't take much to imagine that the dark have been feverishly trying to cause another 9/11 type incident because that favours their way of working. Sheldon's message goes on to say that a dynamic plan is waiting in the wings, which can be sprung on the dark, if necessary, at the behest of our heavenly supervisors. Know that this contingency plan does exist, and that a triumphant finale to your present beleaguered reality can be manifested at a moment's notice. The determining factor lies with heaven's messengers who decide how and when the divine plan is to be revealed on this world. I will comment again there because the question might be asked, who are these heavenly supervisors. And for anybody who's received teachings about the spiritual hierarchy and the different levels of being, you will understand that there are various councils that work in the light, and these pass down information and advice to the people that are handling the events on Earth. So they make the decisions on our behalf, and in that way we can be sure that the victory that we're seeking will be ours. At this stage, we've come so far, I don't think that anyone will now worry unduly if it takes a few more weeks or even a few more months. But we feel very strongly from messages like Sheldon's that the event is very, very near. Sheldon's people go on to say that a much more regrettable point is that these interferences by the dark have hindered the earthquake relief efforts in South Asia and severely impeded the resolution of the many medical disasters still sweeping across Central and Southern Africa. I would say no doubt they're a clear reference to AIDS, which has killed millions of people and leaves many, many more millions with AIDS developing. His message goes on to say that the dark are also preventing talks from taking place that can result in a truce in many civil wars that have infected the Third World for decades. He goes on to say that many top secret global conferences generated plans to eliminate poverty, redress grievances, and generally assure the world that global cooperation is indeed possible. The growing web of covert agreements will be made public once the illegal American regime is forced to resign. These concords permit a new reality to come into existence. In this new realm, the present economic supremacy of the so-called First World will mutate into a support structure linking all nations, and that nuclear and conventional disarmament will be mandatory, and our benevolent presence will be formally announced. May I add there that, as has cropped up in other messages, nuclear and conventional disarmament will be made, I would say, compulsory, and the ETs have such advanced technology, they can monitor what is taking place. And once that edict comes out, you may be assured that we will never be bothered again by things of that nature. The message goes on to say that in the interim period, that is after they have made complete first contact, our governments are to change, and this requires our participation, because true democracy relies upon an informed citizenry who can ensure that their government heeds its voice, complies with its needs, and safeguards each individual's sovereignty. It hinges on the word participation. Your coming abundance will allow you to revel in these responsibilities and create a forum where the voice of democracy can be truly honoured. The message goes on to say that the ascended masters, who are great beings, are to begin a series of appearances around our globe, and these are intended to provide spiritual guidance to heal the endless regional squabbles involving religious differences. They will be here also to carry out healing where the roots of violence are concerned, and bringing peace and unity to Mother Earth's people at every core of the mission. They go on to say that once peace is declared, the world is to receive the new teachings of the Ascended Masters, and that they intend to redress what is described in the message as the bunkum you have been fed, and this includes a retelling of the true genesis of humanity. The truth shall set you free is the aphorism underlying their teachings. The reality that we know, they tell us, is a web of misconceptions, trickery, and outright lies. And they say that this nonsense is to be expunged using methods that are visionary and infallible. I think for me that last word is the most important one, because no matter what you say to some people, they will still stay very rigid in their beliefs. And with so many different faiths and understanding of God and other teachings, it's going to be very difficult to bring people together unless some method is found that is infallible. And it's interesting that with that they talk of the methods being visionary. And I know, and many of you will, that they can tap the etheric records and they can show us events as they happened in the past. And where there is perhaps dispute in religious teachings as to what somebody really said or what they did or what even took place, the fact that the truth can be proven will surely remove all these differences of opinions for once and for all. They go on to say that these teachings can reveal the operations of heaven. Things long forgotten can be remembered and a new reality permitted to flower. Wonderful. They say, now the light of heaven has descended upon you, and a ladder to this most glorious world has begun to manifest. You are to be at once a dweller in heaven and a resident of physicality. There we are. This is what we were promised through ascension and going through with our physical body, albeit that this physical body will be one that will be in perfection, unlike the ones we are in now. In other words, the cellular change will have taken place, but it will be physical in one sense and not totally a light body. Right, the message finally finishes up with, you are hereby reborn as an instrument of the divine plan. You become a physical angel and a participant in the unfolding of the plan. You become a great being of light and return to your true mission. The very spark of creation is combined deep within this heart energy, for the sacred light was birthed from love and is destined to reappear once you fully accept again the wonder and miracle of this love and her amazing light. There we are. That's a very uplifting message yet once again from Sheldon Neidl. And I'm very glad they come out weekly. You get to look forward to them, and it makes your day, I think, when you're able to get to them and read them. Now, also one of my favourites, as you'll know if you listen in regularly, is Matthew's message. And one went out on the 18th of November, and as usual, it's got some very potent points in it. And one of the most emphatic items which Matthew started off with was to say that there will be no bird flu endemic. And he goes on to comment on the fact that it was a laboratory-created virus, etc., etc., and that this scheme was introduced to reduce the world's population, as well as track those who are inoculated. And he said this will never get off the ground. ET technology has neutralized the virus supply and deprogrammed the microchips. And he mentioned these because apparently they were being put into the flu inoculations. And, of course, you'll know that these were going to be made mandatory as a preventative measure. So, there we are. That's very reassuring. And we've learned that anything that we fear actually helps to bring it into manifestation. So Matthew's done a lot there to try and release us from any fear we may have. I don't think one can be silly about it, but that is very reassuring. Matthew also went on to say that there will be no nuclear detonations in space and no terrorist acts on the scale of 9/11. Well, again, that's reassuring, because that means that the ETs have those two areas under their watch and control, and again, I think that's marvellous. Finally, in that particular part of his message, he said that no geophysical disasters will cause entire coastlines to break away and sink beneath the seas or cause massive changes in land and sea masses. And he said that geophysical events will continue, however, not in the severity predicted in numerous reports circulating on the internet. I then jump a little bit in Matthew's messages, because they're usually very long and very interesting. And he confirmed something I've just touched on, and he says generally, do not go into fear. That is so important. It's an energy that the dark can work on and work from. Matthew goes on to talk about the Illuminati, and I expect for a lot of people, including myself, you wonder who these people really are and where they are and how they come to have so much power. Matthew says that the Illuminati are at the peak of governments and legal systems, royalty, religions, mainstream media, banking, education, healthcare, and entertainment industries, and international corporations. In short, every organization and agency that influences life on Earth. Wow, that's quite a list, isn't it? No wonder we've been appearing to fight a losing battle up until now, that is. Matthew goes on to say that the Earth can no longer tolerate the negativity amassed by the abuse of free will. And this is why our space family has been given permission to help break this chain of lies, greed and tyranny. He then goes on into another part of that message to say that you can hear to participate in this unique time on Earth, and you chose your genetic and environmental elements because they're needed for your primary mission, which is also your soul's selection. Well, I've had a number of messages about that, about pre-life advice, guidance and selection of what you want to do on your mission, and the way in which the people behind you do their best to make sure that you complete it as you contracted to do it. And I believe that if anybody sits back and gives their present position a little bit of thought, I think it's possible to determine what you're really here for. And that doesn't mean that everybody has some rip-roaring time or needs to do anything fantastic. Every little cog in the mechanism makes the whole thing work, so I think that's important. Matthew goes on to say that when you are heeding your inner voice, the nudgings of your God self, you are in a space of serenity and acceptance. And maybe that is where you ought to try and place yourself if you really want to understand your purpose here, and so forth. Matthew had a number of questions asking where is Earth in her ascendancy, and will Bush's administration end this year? And Matthew went on to mention that the Earth was a beneficiary of a massive influx of energy, and that helped a leap forward. And he spoke of other things also on a physical level, and mentioned matters that would have disrupted the steady pace of our movement towards fourth density. He went on, and I'll quote this one as it reads in the paragraph that's applicable, saying, with even mainstream media frequently reporting that US President Bush is fast losing favor with his former supporters throughout the country, with influential members of his own party and leaders and citizens in other countries the world watchers are seeing his administration crumbling. If he is still in office by the year's end, it will be because other Illuminati holding reins well out of the public view will be keeping the US economy afloat for their personal reasons that have nothing whatsoever to do with loyalty to George W. Bush. Quite the contrary, he has outlived his usefulness to them and is expendable, as if, in their fortune-calculating eyes, he were an itinerant farmer. Matthew goes on to say that once he is out of office, and he was little more than the mouth for the real powers in government, and the truth about this and them will come out through more indictments, given the free will of all involved, it isn't clear whether resignations or resistance will accompany the denials of any wrongdoing, and ultimately it won't matter, because the days of the Dark Ones, that is all the Dark Ones in this administration, are growing short, and that the transitional team, some of whom are in high positions and are being heard, is becoming more publicly active, and the change from this administration into the next will be organized as soon as possible. That's wonderful, because there is a hint that this event might materialize by the end of the year. Matthew goes on to say, and I will read another complete short paragraph from his message, that I remind you the Illuminati are a global force, not national, and their aim is to control your whole world. The ever-intensifying power of the light is preventing this step by step, because the United States is perceived as the mightiest nation on earth. Its government has to be the first to fall, and falling it is, by the people's demands and light-filled leaders emerging, other nations will follow suit. To ones in every nation, please see the glimmers of light and feel thankful for these harbingers of the full light ahead. So again, there's some really wonderful messages there, and so uplifting. Matthew went on to talk about various problems on the earth, and to sum it up, really, what he was asking us all to do when we're in these periods, perhaps where we have shortages of things and we see people around us suffering hardships, etc. He talks of people sharing and even bartering if need be. And I think he's proposing that as a way to see us through a period of problems until we get into the changes, when all of this will be completely overcome permanently. Matthew goes on to say in another part of his message, in reply to a query about Stargates, he said, first, the portals known as Stargates are for light forces to enter. These areas, and there are many more than six, are especially powerful energy spots in the light grid surrounding Earth, and no darkness could even approach them because of their brilliance. I have to add there was a story quite some months ago that Bush and his Dark Ones wanted to take over Baghdad because there was a Stargate over that area, and the story went that they were somehow trying to use it. But there you are, from what Matthew said, they wouldn't be able to do that. Matthew went on to say that one of the greatest beliefs that will be shattered when the truth about the millennia deception perpetrated through religions becomes known, the second coming and the raptures and salvation are part of the great lie. Religious beliefs are not the same as spirituality, and in most instances they haven't even a nodding acquaintance. One of the greatest challenges ahead is resolving the conflict between the people who do know the truth and those who will resist it to keep their belief foundations intact, regardless of their religion. As for Christianity, the man known as Jesus in the Bible would be the first to tell you how wrong the teaching is, that accepting him as Lord and Savior is the way to salvation. And he'd also tell you that believing that it is not the same as believing in Christ. Christ is not a name, it means being one with God. The Christed energy or Christed light is the highest power in the universe, and it is eternally available to all as the saviour that can keep you from falling into darkness and committing acts considered ungodly. He goes on to say that the soul that originated in the Christed realm, which is the Creator's first creation, and incarnated in one lifetime as Jesus, also has lived as many other spiritual leaders on earth and far beyond. The energy of the Christed realm is pure love, and it is this energy that Jesus, all of his souls, other embodiments, and all other souls of that high station impart, that is, the second coming. It is not a return of the man who lived in Galilee 2,000 years ago. He knew that he was no different from other souls that are all parts of God, that all have the same potential to perform the miracles ascribed to him, and that all have multiple lifetimes for remembering their God selves and their inseparability from every other soul in this universe. And he finally says that if Jesus' true message had been preserved in the Bible instead of being distorted or parts of it eliminated, you would know this in his own words. There you are. That was a very strong statement there from Matthew. And it's certainly going to upset a lot of people who even now avidly believe in the second coming. But maybe when they get to learn the truth, they will see that in the end, they will not have lost anything. Indeed, far from it. So there is a challenge to many people who are very strongly in the Orthodox way of thinking. Matthew goes on to say that there are physical bodies that need physical nourishment. So definitely you'll still want to eat when you move into the spiritual regions, which are known, and he uses the word nirvana. And he's talking about that, and he said it's the diets that will change in accordance with respect for animals' lives, along with your crystalline-based cells finding raw food and whole grains more appealing than supermarkets' current offerings. So that was a short answer to a short question about whether people in their etheric bodies needed solid food. So I will move on just a little bit more, and this comes to really the final part of Matthew's message that I would like to refer to. And it was in response to somebody who wanted to know where the institution of marriage is heading with the coming changes, and also what about divorce. So I think the answer, which isn't terribly long, is worth reading out as he gave it, in case some of you listening haven't heard it. And Matthew said that the move away from Earth's couples' lifelong ties began some time ago with the growing divorce rate, and to a lesser degree, but steadily increasing with partners choosing to forego legalities and parting when one or both felt a need to move on. The latter is not an easy row to hoe because of unfair restrictions in benefits given married couples and public ostracising, especially of homosexual partners. This will change as prejudiced and judgmental attitudes give way to realising that the purpose of each lifetime is to fill gaps in experiencing so the soul can evolve, and that every soul experiences all types of relationships and sexual orientations. Earth differs in a paramount respect from Nirvana, where no children are born to couples, so no custody conflicts arise. And since money is non-existent, as everyone's needs are easily met, neither is financial support an issue. These situations that currently plague many Earth families will be resolved in the higher vibrations, where love is purer and stronger, and negative traits will have been outgrown, and an entirely different economy will be in force. And a primary concern now, the children of broken families no longer will present any sadness or worries. The differences in living arrangements will be accepted with equanimity and grace in the realization that living within the soul contract that is designed for spiritual growth is of utmost importance to all. All is one. So there we are. That's what I think are, for me, the highlights of the message from Matthew. I wanted to do a very quick review, as usual, of my own messages. And I've had Saint Germain through, as usual, a few times, and he was talking in one message about patience being required where the changes are expected. And he said that all the big powers will eventually cease to be in their present form. And he talks about the cost of war, both before and after the event, and highlights how much of our money and energy is wasted with literally nothing to show for the result. He talks of incarnations that allow us to experience both sides, meaning that at different times we come into the dark side and also the light. And that is how we learn, and that is how we are enabled to balance ourselves. He concluded that message by asking us to concentrate on peace. In the other messages I had from Saint Germain, he mentioned about humanity speaking with one voice and demanding peace, and how powerful that is. He mentioned about wars again, and how we've been taught by some about gods that are warlike, and clearly he disagrees with that, because these are false teachings and cannot be weighed at all against a god that is pure love. He talks about how experience teaches us to learn the truth about ourselves, and again he mentions peace by saying that there is a new energy paving its way towards that goal. On Thanksgiving Day, he gave a message talking about that very thing, and the main feature of that was to say that we should remember the Thanksgiving, indeed every day, and we should not forget the service that Mother Earth herself has given to us over millennia of time. I had some of my ET friends who are members of the Galactic Federation through, and Atmos spoke about the Galactic Federation and saying that they are here to manifest the Creator's plan, and that our Earth is the last one to be lifted up from the lower dimensions in this segment of the universe. He tells us that they will at some stage show themselves over the capital cities. Not in any manner that would overwhelm people, but they want to introduce themselves in a gentle way. And that with their arrival, eventually religions and scientific understanding will be brought up to date. And mentioned something we heard, I think, through Sheldon's message, that they will come to us to give us the truth. I also had the Salusar through, and he was talking about the changes. And he was saying that we will eventually enter another phase, and that we would see amazing changes in us. And he talks about something that's often mentioned now, and that is the cellular changes within us, and saying that this would bring us a lightness of feeling. And some people would find that they were gaining psychic skills. And he mentioned, such as seeing, for example, elementals that we might see in our gardens or elsewhere. So that subject was more about the period following on the one which we're anticipating now. I finally refer to Agagria, who came through, and he was talking about how all of our experiences are linked, one life to another, and telling us not to forget that we are more than our body, and how our life plans are drawn up before we incarnate, and that we are even born into a family that's sometimes chosen because they will literally give us a hard time. It just simply depends what lessons you came into life to learn. And he is mentioning that our abilities or lack of abilities are imprinted in our genes. So we can't always be just what we want. And he's saying that clearing our karma at the moment is almost instantaneous, because obviously a lot of people will not disappear and come back to Earth at another time. I'll link in with that a message that came through in September 2001, and this was messages from the hosts of heaven. And there was one little bit in there that I thought, as the message popped up again, was very interesting, because it said that it will not be easy for some of you to hear about this future period, because you care and you want to help, and you still have fears about what will happen to others. Even so, this is as it was intended to be from the beginning, and is totally in keeping with the choices made by all of our oversouls, individually and collectively. And the message says that the ingathering is taking place now, and it represents the collecting of those who are going to Terra, that is a name they give to the new version of the Earth, and removing them from the world scene for a time, until it is time to return and gather up those who have gone through the trials and been transformed by them. In other words, those that wish to move on to a similar Earth to this one will move off first, and those who are ascending will carry on with that development, and then of course they will eventually descend. This whole message is worth reading, and if any of you feel inclined and you find that site, this message is actually called The Time of Ingathering. And it talks about the fact that a few people will remain on the planetary surface, and they will remain for the work that the planet requires, but that most of us will be lifted up out of the frequency band that we now occupy and totally hidden away until it is time to return. And that, he's saying, you will not be available to those who are left behind, so that they may have their opportunity to learn what you have learned. It is all in divine order and all within the divine plan. You are already being lifted now, and that separating out from mass consciousness can be felt by those of you who are sufficiently sensitive to the more subtle energies to perceive it. It will appear that light is withdrawn with you, but that will never be the case. It will appear that you have abandoned those who remain behind, but that will never be the case. You will simply be withdrawing for a time so that you can return to help when you are really needed. You need to change your costume for your new role, and you need a safe place in which to accomplish that. And I read a little bit further on, you will literally walk through the killing fields and offer a hand to those who are ready to leave with you. You will need to be clothed in your armor of protection, and you will need to be in full consciousness. You will be as living Christ, that is, anointed ones, and carry the vibration and power that comes through such a state of being. So that's all I propose to read from that message, because I think it linked in with one of the earlier comments made regarding people who are concerned about those that they perceive will be left behind. Now, I'm moving on to my UFO spot. And as last week, what I've done is I've gone back to my old flying saucer reviews. And this week is one I take an extract from, which goes back to October 1961. And there is quite a short but wonderful story in there, which again I've never seen surface in our recent period of time, and it's fascinating. It's about a Professor Gumaris. It doesn't actually state where he comes from, but I think it must be Portugal. And he had an experience on the 27th of August, 1957. Just think how long ago that was. And he was walking along a beach, and he said it was a dull day. And as he was going along and looking out to sea, he suddenly saw a spout of sea come up, and as he described it, a pot-bellied machine moving towards the beach. And when it arrived, he saw a landing line was thrown out, and it appeared to be equipped with spears. Unfortunately, he doesn't say exactly what the purpose of those were, but presumably they floated on the sea or enabled them to walk from it onto the beach. Anyway, he says that two human-like men jumped out and walked to meet him. They were about 6 foot tall, long fair hair, clear complexions and eyebrows, wore a one-piece garment, green in colour, narrowing towards the neck, the feet and the ankles. And I have to say at that point, that's a very typical type of, shall we say, space suit that the human type ET seemed to wear. And I must say, from the very brief description of them, for me, they again sound very much like the Venusians. But be that as it may, he went on to say he tried speaking to them, and he did that in many different languages, which he knew, but got no reply. And then eventually, he said it seemed to him they were using telepathic language, and he was invited into the craft. And he said he was never interested in flying saucers, so they certainly weren't attracted to him for that reason. He said that when he went aboard, he reached a hatch in the craft where he noticed another person was standing. Anyway, he went inside, and unfortunately, there's no description in this article of what it was like. But he said the machine rose, and he saw water on the portholes, which they said was produced by the I have to apologise there for that little delay. I can't actually read the notes there. But I'll restart that little bit so that you can edit that out. The machine rose, and then he saw water on the portholes, which he was told originated from some form of rotation to do with the craft. And he said that all round the machine was an array of filtration which produced the effect of a semi-vacuum, and it was also producing apparently some type of violet light. Anyway, he said as they went out into space and he was above Earth that the stars shone in an extraordinary manner, and every now and again they actually went through a violet coloured layer and then another. And then he said suddenly the machine seemed to toss violently, and he was told that that was because they had just left our Earth's atmosphere. Now, when he returned to Earth, he doesn't mention what else happened on the journey. I'm sure there must be a fuller report that's survived that somewhere along the way. He said he could not be sure how long the flight lasted, but he estimated it was 30 to 40 minutes. So he went to his hotel, he said, and he felt inclined to tell everyone of his extraordinary experience. And he said it seemed to him that the crews of those airships were carrying out an investigation upon the inhabitants of our planet. He had the impression that they were desirous of instructing us as to the dangers which threaten humanity. And he said that in his opinion, human behaviour is almost savage. He said man would be born wholly good, but as a result of conditions inherent upon Earth, he degenerates. And he said there are some scientific experiments which are being conducted without due care. The indiscriminate use of the atomic bomb scarcely increases the ionisation of the Earth, and that it does, however, cause the destruction of layers of the atmosphere which filter dangerous rays. And he's saying that if more care is not taken in the use of these terrible devices, we shall all suffer the consequence of such explosions. Apparently, the professor was invited back to the craft, but for different reasons he didn't go. Now, that might have been a smoke screen to stop people interfering with him, and perhaps he went after all, but apparently once he made this information public, he was apparently very much pestered by people wanting to know all about it. He did mention as an afterthought that on this trip out into space that he saw 12 constellations And he also mentioned, which must have been just after they left the Earth, that the Air Force sent out pursuit planes. He apparently was a bit worried about all that, but if you remember back in 1957, they were very early days, and I think for someone to come out with a story like that, to say they had been on the craft, was quite something. So there we are, that's a story that, again, I'll repeat myself, I'm sure there must be a more fuller account of what he experienced. It would be nice to see if it surfaced anywhere. On the ET side, I wish to refer to a message that came out from Nancy Tate. Funnily enough, it goes back over a month. And she had a being crew called ADAS of the Sirius Starfleet. And I found one or two parts of that message of interest. Not quite sure why I've had it this long, but there you are. It doesn't lose its value in time. And this being was talking about there being an agreement that is utilised, and that we will see an unfoldment of a travesty of justice that is to be the undoing of the present ruling elite on your planet. And he said that with this travesty of justice will come an outpouring of public outrage so complete and so influential as to tear down the House of Cards. He goes on to say that rest assured that there will be a guidance that will come through for all of those who are in a position of power in this world, and that positioning will bring to bear all of the unjust practices that have been taking place for so many years. There will be a decided cessation to these practices, and in their place will rise a new shining way of governance and a new system of societal living. And this will serve to set a resonance for all of humanity to tune into for all of eternity. Now, if you follow all of the events, you have to say that very much rings of some revelation about the present administration in the US, and I can't help think perhaps something big will break as far as 9/11. I think that's one of the sort of things that could see the end of them. The message does also talk of the government and the way that it has of late been losing its position. And in this way, the disillusionment has opened the eyes of many to the actual truths that have been hidden. This is causing a break in the lines of communication that serve these ones in power. And as a result, they are communing within their own group in a way that is contrary to harmony. They are turning one against the other, and in so doing, they are bringing about their own fall. The being goes on to say that we are ready to land on Earth's surface at any moment and to begin the process of bringing our systems in this time of great change on planet Earth. Also talks about the dark having been totally disarmed and any weapons they have rendered useless, by which they could have rebuilt and used their formidable weapons of mass destruction once more. And the final comment I'll make on that message is it does conclude in part with the statement that this is the time of great change and the absolution of karma as it is being played out in totality for all mankind. You are living the grand absolution of the karmic expression of the whole of humanity, and there is but one outcome. So it's, I guess in some ways, typical of the sort of messages you tend to get these days, and there is a lot of repetition, but you see, not everybody sees the same message, and maybe our memories are not that good. We can't always remember these in detail, so I think it does help to have the emphasis on some of the more important points. I now come to what I call my general news, and the matter that's been around for a little while now and being discussed is that the Vatican astronomers are pondering the baptism of extraterrestrials. I don't know why they quite think that ETs would even entertain it, but I suppose they, with their particular types of views, have to look at how they would react or respond to ETs coming to the Earth. That's an amazing consideration, I think. bearing in mind that the church normally, as I recall it, takes a rather stuffy view of things like that. But anyway, that's a very wonderful development, the fact they're even considering it. They ask questions like, would humans recognise intelligent life if they saw it? Could they communicate with it, or should they even try? And is original sin something that affects all intelligent beings? Is Jesus Christ's redemption valid for intelligent beings throughout the universe? And of course, they go on questioning some of their own beliefs and how they would relate to ETs. I have to say, to declare my hand here, I have never believed in the opinion about original sin. I think that's incorrect, but there you are, everybody to their own. So, that's all I'm going to mention about that. You can find more information on that, if you wish, on the Catholic News site, which is catholicnews.com. So, you can see the whole report, and it's not a terribly big one. A little article I saw in one of our British newspapers was something I thought I would mention, because you don't always hear what happens in other countries. And apparently, a teacher in Saudi Arabia who talked about the Bible with pupils and praised Jews has been sentenced to a public flogging and 40 months in jail. Now, I mean, one can smile at it, but it shows you how rigid and how much they discipline their people in that particular country. And I have to think that if it wasn't for the fact that the US relies on them for their oil supplies, they might well have taken them to task on their humanitarian record. They are, in my opinion, rather barbaric at times. Apparently, this particular person was charged with promoting a dubious ideology, mocking religion, saying the Jews were right, discussing the gospel, and preventing students from leaving class to wash for prayer. They say the teacher faces 750 lashes, but is to appeal against his sentence. And the article mentions that in Saudi Arabia, the public practice of any religion other than Islam is barred. Isn't that sad that people can't discuss what they wish? And in religion in particular, I think it would be very nice if religions discussed what other people thought and what their beliefs were and tried to understand it. Anyway, I'll move on now to a Skolnick expose from the Cloak and Dagger site. I'm not going to read much from it, but it's something I think that, again, shows some of the rather draconian methods that are being introduced into the US. And this is where the judge accusers were labelled domestic terrorists. And it talks of the participants and that of a Chicago headquarter court reform group who faced seizure of their properties, assets, goods, licenses and records, and being stripped of their citizenship and making them detainees without time limits and without trials and without right to consult attorneys. And this stemmed from a recent secret meeting of the federal judges, chaired in person or via teleconferencing by Antonin Scalia, who's an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they were asked for and received from George W. Bush an order signed by proxy Karl Rove designating certain persons linked to the court reform group as domestic terrorists during a war emergency. And for the benefit and protection of the judges, Bush invoked certain provisions of the Patriot Act authorizing the occupant and resident of the White House actually or in effect to strip such US-born persons of their citizenship rights, privileges, and immunities, and to detain them without time limit and without trial. And such laws forbid the courts to have jurisdiction to hear and consider any challenges whatsoever to those procedures. I don't think that requires any comment from me, does it? I think it's awful, though. Anyway, keeping with the general news side, there was a fairly recent email floating around from Cara Kincannon. She had St. Germain through, and I think I may have referred to this in my last programme, but she was questioned about whether the troops would come home, and she confirmed, yes, that they would. And there was talk of the talks, talk of the troops laying down their arms and refusing to fight. Sounds familiar. I think I might have mentioned that one at some stage. There was another email from Karen Carbo, and this is just Chandlings, and this is the Daily Quado, as they call it. And interesting bit in it, mentions saying, you would like to know what the future will hold, but the future lies in your own actions and responses, moment by moment, as well as your mental framework now. The future is not some distant place where everything is magically transformed. The future is the very next moment, and within this moment you must reach the truth and step into it. To realise the most interesting and exciting future possible, much courage is required right now. And you must reach the truth and step into it. To realise this most interesting and exciting future, you must do what your heart tells you to do, and to reach out to others, and to open your heart to love, and to help the future to blossom wide. That message does go on to say that as a last aspect of the future, I wish you to explore your relationship to time, because you exist on more than one level, and on the level of your higher self you are timeless and eternal. And it goes on to talk about the lifetime which is fed from that higher self, which is the one we have now, which moves in a linear fashion, and it has a beginning and an end that follows certain laws of time. And while we are here inside this moment, we can take action, which, if properly nurtured, will cause great bounty in the future. It talks of planting seeds of good relationships, of talents carefully nurtured, and of skills expanded and same. Spend just a little time and effort now, but steadily, and time takes care of it all for you. Talks about the voice of truth within, which tells you of special action to take right now. The one that makes your heart beat faster, the one which challenges your beliefs and comfort, the one which requires stepping out of your patterns and doing something uncharacteristic and yet deeply voiced, asking us to listen to that voice. I read on the net that Tom Hannigan has reports that suggest that Bush and the White House are about to collapse with smoking gun evidence. And he says that if you play fast and loose, talking about Victoria Plains CIA team, which interrupted a covert plan to smuggle weapons of mass destruction into Iraq before the war started, this was disproved by Valerie Plame, and Tom Hannigan feels that that is more likely the reason why she was revealed, rather or more than the dismissal of her husband. So there we are. There's another email floating around by a representative, or is it a Republican, or both, John Murtha. No, he's a representative, isn't he? John Murtha, who's a Democrat, and he was talking at a Capitol Hill News conference, and he said it's time to bring them home, talking of the troops in Iraq. And he said our military has accomplished its mission and done its duty. And that's quite a turnaround in a way, because apparently he voted for war in 2002, and he now says it is a flawed policy and wrapped in illusion. And I don't think he's the only one that's beginning to see the light and changing their minds. There was another report that said that Iraq could lose up to £100 billion worth of its oil and wealth to the British and American multinational companies. And that claim was made by Louise Richards, head of the War on Want. She said the Iraq War was about oil, profits and plunder. And this is what they've gauged the British and the American multinational companies will make out of it since they've taken over that country. Craig Szymanski on the 13th of November was talking about 9/11, and he said that no steel frame building before or after the World Tower collapse has ever done that due to fire, but explosives can effectively sever steel. And he was talking about the World Tower number 7, which collapsed in 6.6 seconds, and he said 6 seconds longer than it would take an object dropped from the ground and dropped from the roof. So he's saying that an object dropped from the roof would only take 6 seconds to reach the ground, and yet the tower collapsed in 6.6 seconds. And the point he's making there is that there clearly must have been many explosions to sever the steel structure to enable it to collapse so easily. And that gives truth to the idea that explosives were placed in many parts of that building to cause it to collapse. He says that the three buildings collapsed nearly symmetrically, falling down in their footprints, a phenomenon associated with controlled demolition. And he believes there were pre-positioned explosives. And I think he took that report from one given by Professor Stephen E. Jones of Brigham Young University. Now, my final report, because I see my time is coming to a close, is by Wayne Marsden. That was a few days ago. And he was talking of the death of the British Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, who told the House of Commons that Al-Qaeda is not really a terrorist group, but a database of international mujahideen and arms smugglers used by the CIA and Saudis to funnel guerrillas, arms and money into Soviet-occupied Afghanistan. And he says there is a propaganda campaign to make the public believe in the presence of an unidentified... There is a propaganda campaign to make the public believe in the presence of an identified entity representing the devil, only in order to drive the TV watcher to accept a unified international leadership for war against terrorism. And he says the country behind it is in the US, and their lobbyists for the US war on terrorism who are only interested in making money. So there's a claim. Right, my friends, I've got to leave you there. I've got plenty more, but there is a limit to how much I can talk about. So I will wish you all a nice coming week, and thank you for being with me, and God bless you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.